Blog Talk Radio.
Radio. The show is the Healing Artist Studio, and there is a special show today called Social and Mobile Media Strategies for Healing and Change. Reach out and touch mind, body, heart, and spirit. And I'm just actually going to read a little bit from the description of the show, which is four words for you: open, authentic, collaborative, exchanges. And my question for you is, do these words instantly come to mind when you hear or see the word social or mobile media? Because for me, many things that come to mind have to do with, of course, the popular services like Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and LinkedIn. And for some reason, sometimes I see these services as a little bit less social and more of sort of a growing wild west for business sales and marketing campaigns. And especially I find that these particular uses for social media and for mobile media marketing tend to get much more coverage in the press than publicity about applications of these channels for humanitarian healing and spiritual intentions. So today's show, I want to focus on the use of social media and marketing media for these particular areas, so that's humanitarian, healing, spiritual, things that are more of a nonprofit, charity-oriented, taking care of ourselves and taking care of one another, and the planet, of course. Okay, so the guests today are Gary Liebert, who is the author of a book called Social Nation and the CEO of a company called MZena, which creates a social networking software. And also David Bly, who is the CEO, I believe he's the CEO, he'll correct me, because I never did actually ask you, David, what your official title is, but the company is Internet Consulting and Marketing. And then my guest co-host is a return guest co-host who I love to do shows with, and I'm so happy to have John Hansen on board with me today. And John Hansen has his own Blog Talk radio show called PI Window on Business, and he also has a very popular blog. And, you know, I tend to be the kind of host who prefers to let people tell you about themselves. I like to hear from the individual themselves how they describe themselves and how they describe what they do. So what I'm going to do is, Barry, I believe you're on the line. Is that correct?
That is correct. Hello.
Welcome.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, you're quite welcome. And so, Barry, I guess you heard my introduction.
Absolutely.
Okay, so what I'd like to do is to go ahead and ask you to share with the listening audience who you are and what it is that you do.
Sure. So my name is Barry Liebert. I founded a company called MZena in 2001 for a very basic reason. that I believed Carl Jung once said, which is a famous psychiatrist, long passed away from Austria, that we learn through others, and that businesses and individuals had stopped listening a long time ago and started talking, and that we needed to reach our full potential by beginning to listen again to each other and to help each other heal. And that was in 2001 through sharing experiences and insights. That has grown into a software company today, which manages about 15,000 communities with about 40 million users who share their lives experiences with each other, what matters to them, what doesn't, so they can learn for each other from each other. Some of those are consumer communities, and most of them are for businesses that are trying for the first time to listen and from listening become more aware of their actions and how that either helps or hurts individuals, be it customers or employees.
Well, thank you very much for sharing that. Now, did you say 4 million or did you say 40 million?
40 million.
That's what I thought you said. That is a lot of people. Well, thank you for sharing in your own words who you are and what you do. David, I'm going to put the same question to you.
Well, first off, I want to thank you, Val, for trying to give me that promotion. If I was CEO, I'd be.
I just muted him. Yeah, I just muted David.
That was a
heck of a lot. Let me see if I can bring him back in here, unmute him, and hopefully he's got that technical difficulty fixed on his end. What I'm going to recommend is David, if you can hear me, is just to dial back in. Yes, he heard me, so he's going to dial back in. There's always something unusual and fascinating and unexpected happening on Blog Talk Radio, so there we are. Okay, so, John, I'm going to then go ahead and let you answer those questions of who you are and what it is that you do.
Be alive. I'm kidding. We're working fine from here. We're doing just fine from here.
Very good. That's very good, John.
It's a pleasure. Before I even get into myself, you know what? What you just said about listening, I think, was so very, very important. You know, we were talking about this in the virtual green room at Barry, and we're saying that, you know, the biggest mistake organizations make with social media is that they get up on this soapbox and broadcast out, start telling the world how great they are and talking out at the community rather than making a contribution to the community. And social media, I remember interviewing the founder of the Academy Social Network, which launched back in the late 90s, and she said, and this Penny Power, she said, you know, it's tantamount to somebody moving into a new town, going to a local pub, standing up on a soapbox and just saying, look at me, how great I am. People will turn you off right off the bat. So when you said listening, I think if there was one or two key phrases for social media, I think that would be it. So I just had to say that. I thought that was a great opening. My venture into social media is not by design, but by chance. In 2007, I was writing for different magazines, different articles, and different editors. And those who write know that the relationship between editors and writers are sometimes, let's say, a little bit bumpy. And when you have so many different editors and deadlines, it was somebody said, why don't you write a blog? And what you can do is treat it like a big buffet, post 3 to 4 articles a week, let the editors come to the site and pick and choose what they want. But this way you only have one thing to deal with. And I thought that was a great idea. So I started what was known as the Procurement Insights blog. And in March 2009, as the blog grew in readership to about 300,000 syndicated monthly subscribers from 2007 to 2009, I stumbled across Blog Talk Radio. I thought, this is great, because I remember the old tubes and the snap, crackle, and pop and burning wire electricity, as I like to say. I thought, hey, this is an interesting idea. And started the PI Window on Business March of 2009, launched the PI Window on Business blog in June of 2009. And all of this was designed just as a natural, almost like sequential extension. But there seemed to be a parallel, or what I call a cross-pollination factor that happened. And again, this wasn't planned. And Val, you know this. But to give you an idea of the effects, when I launched the PI Window on Business blog, it was solely to support the radio show that I was doing, and still am, of course, and had that first month something like 216 unique downloads or reads. Not much to write home about. By August of 2010, we exceeded 35,000 unique reads and downloads in the month of August for the whole month. So we went from 214 in a month to 35, and the combined syndicated listening reach of the PI social media network, which now includes the PI Inclusive Eye TV, as well as I write for six other blogs, branded blogs for clients, we reach more than 2 million people a month. Now, that's the power of social media. However, the caveat, I go back to what Barry said, is the listening part of things, is what contributions are you making to the community, and how are you adding value so that they will want to, when they go, and I use the pollination theory, because most people will nest with either one or two social networks and really be a presence there versus just a profile. How do you inspire them to say that's worthwhile carrying with them to some of their networks or different networks? And that's how you get that spreading out or pollinization effect. So my experience grew. I've written two books. I've got a third underway. And, I think this is a very, very exciting time. But as much as the media might be the message, and we talked about this earlier on when I made the reference, Val, to Levinson, Paul Levinson's book, Cell Phone, I mean, people have always, for a long, long time, going back to the transistor radio and before then, always look for mobile media. The key is you have to focus on that content and delivering value to your community. And your reward for delivering value to the community is that information will ultimately be spread.
Well, thank you, John. It's a very well put. You said a lot in a short amount of time. Just in that one conversation, we have a full sense of who you are, what you believe, what you've done. So I thank you for that. And I also want to go back to now. It looks like, David, you're with us again, correct?
Yes, I am. Yes, I am. And I don't know how much you've heard before, but I wanted to thank you for trying to give me the promotion. I am not CEO. I would have all the golf perks if I was. I am the social media manager here at ICNM. And evidently, yeah, as CEO, I wouldn't have got cut off either. So I appreciate you letting me back in.
Well, you're quite welcome. Well, thank you, gentlemen, for checking in on that. So I want to then quickly move to what's very close to my heart. Of course, this show is called The Healing Artist Studio. And I thought that I would begin by asking you a question that has to do with people that are involved in sort of nonprofit areas, or either they're small businesses. Perhaps they're in the places that I'm closest to, the industry areas are music and film, visual arts, literary arts, people who are authors like you, John, and like you, Barry, and also people who are practitioners in the wellness field, and people who also attend to our spiritual needs. So these are the areas that are closest to my heart. And what I was wondering is, actually, Barry, there's something on your website that really got my attention, and I don't know if I mentioned this, but this got me or led me to actually call or to contact you. And what it was is there was a line, a sentence on your website where you said something about we are working for change from the inside out. And it was those words, from the inside out, that really got my attention. And I was wondering, what do you mean by change from the inside out on your website? Can you just speak a little bit about Nzinga's approach to that particular word, inside out, from the inside out?
Sure. It was a blog post by me. It was a blog post I wrote about tuned to kindness and through something called SOAR, which is a meditation yoga approach, which is settle in, observe, allow, relax. It doesn't say that in the blog post, but the construct was, if I don't listen to you, since you understand the concept of spirit, if I don't listen to your needs and tune to what it is you're saying, then it's very hard for me to help you achieve your full potential, let alone mine. Because I'm not hearing you. I'm just talking over you. The reason I started the business in 2001 was very simply, I thought that businesses were the sum total of the individual actions of their people and their leaders. And we increasingly, you can really see it now in 2010 and 11, just watch Egypt and Tunisia, let alone America. People don't realize that, but in America, we are at the third angriest point in our lives since the Civil War, at each other, not at the world, at each other. And so the way to heal was to start with yourself, not by pointing fingers at others. And so you start from inside out. You start thinking about, okay, what can I learn about myself and what's really motivating me that is with intention as opposed to with intensity? And how do I begin to act with clarity by first listening inside and making sure that once I listen to what reality is for me, I don't get on a soapbox and then just make it your reality, which means I need to also listen to you. And so Inside Out was about how to achieve not only your potential, but others, by really for the first time listening to what is really coming from your heart, not just coming from your daily actions, and then listening to what's coming from others and helping them in their same pursuit.
Okay, so Barry, I would say with the services that you set up for a variety of people, I mean, you have some really big players that you provide your social network community software for, and you can certainly go ahead and tell us what that software is, the name of it, so people know what it is. I believe it's OmniSocial or something like that. I forgot to write it down. But, I mean, you have some pretty really big clients. You have clients like the Academy Awards, and then you have clients that are more of the small businesses in which who are trying to provide those kind of insight out experiences for people. Do you have any sense of percentage or numbers of the number of companies that you're providing this kind of service to that are involved in more of the insight out, reach out and such kind of
sharing?
Sure.
We represent about 300 companies, as I say, we manage on their behalf 15,000 communities with about 40 million users. And if you think about what we're helping them do is to listen for the first time, not to broadcast, but to listen to what they're saying, to engage in conversations, not broadcasting and messaging and marketing, and to support their customers and employees. You run both employee communities and customer communities, which means communities of groups of people that work for the company as well as groups of people who buy things from a company. We help them help their people and their customers begin to not only hear each other, sense each other, experience the sentiment of each other. We do what's called sentiment analysis, social intelligence analysis. And from that listening and sentiment, just like you would have at home with your family, listening to your loved ones or listening to your neighbors, understand the sentiment that is being created through your words and your actions, we help organizations design programs to change what they're saying and what they're doing so that their customers and employees feel better, feel more loved, feel more engaged, feel more part of the total solution because they know that they're being heard. So we provide software called OmniSocial, and we provide services called OmniServices that help companies engage in thoughtful conversations and listening and sentiment analysis so that they can do a better job helping people and themselves achieve their full potential.
Okay, this is really interesting to me, and John, certainly jump in with any questions you may have, and David as well. You know, I believe I was actually, and thank you for answering that question, Barry, but I was on your website, Dave, and I think also I was looking at your blog, and I think I got a link to this particular news story on your blog, and it feeds in to, you know, what we're talking about and what Barry is talking about in terms of listening. Now, why with the Pope, why would Pope Benedict bless social networking? I came across this article that said Facebook, Pope Benedict blesses social networking. And in his comments, in this article, he says that he gives it his blessing, social networking in general, and he comments on the importance of not just listening, but guys, authenticity. And he says it must not take the place of direct human contact. So I want to just put that question out to you guys. Do you agree with the Pope? And also, why do you feel it was important for him to come out and to publicly give his support of social networking?
Well, I mean, as far as is this blessing, I mean, we had spoke about a little bit about that, John and I, before, how, I mean, I understand what he
David.
Says.
This is David, correct?
This is David. That we spoke about this before, that how technology has made the world a much smaller place. Now I can have day-to-day interaction with someone across the world, I mean, that I might not have had 10 years ago. So I think in that aspect, it's really opening up a lot of worlds and building relationships. But and also he cautions, don't let it take the place of actual human interaction. That I think, you know, you're not going to stop progress. That's going to happen. And matter of fact, we were talking last week at the college about how some people have just basically, they call it the I world. You know, they've unplugged and they've gone into their own little world. So it's a very fine balance, I think. He that's what he's cautioning about.
Okay, yeah.
Well, that's an interesting thought. Sorry, Val, but, you know, something came on. The first thing that hit my mind, Val, when you talked about the Pope, is that Facebook, for example, has been received the dubious distinction of being a major cause of divorce in North America, because people reconnect with their old flames from high school. And it was an interesting thought there, because, you know, I mean, there's all kinds of things there. I mean, like, it's really, I don't know, David and Mary, isn't it what you make of social media and the attitude that you take into that really determines the value of the media versus the media itself?
So my message, I think Marsh McLuhan, who said the medium is the message, basically is wrong. I think the message you're conveying, or we're conveying on this call today on Blog Talk Radio, is the message is not the medium and vice versa. Let's just talk about the messages. The message is, very simply, that everybody has, I think, great and yet unrealized potential. And for a variety of reasons, they have not achieved all that they want in life, whether it be spiritually, financially, physically, emotionally, or intellectually, all five dimensions. And I don't think that's improving around the world. In fact, I think it's getting worse, according to statistics. People are more and more unhappy, not more and more happy. And so the message is that I think we can achieve the message of our full potential, both spiritually and financially, as well as professionally and personally. The medium, believe it or not, for doing that, I think, one of the mediums is social media, which is otherwise known as the internet. And we can connect around the world and begin to learn from each other. But other mediums exist too. We're using today, I'm called in by a phone. That's a medium. And physically, real estate is a medium to get together. So my view is we should not connect the medium and the message. The message is pure and clear that companies and individuals can learn from each other by listening. A medium is, surely social media is one of them, even if it's being inappropriately used today to become a broadcast medium.
Well, this is Val. You know, I agree with you, what you just said, Barry, about the medium being the message. Perhaps at one point in time, I believe it might have been true, only because the people who, I say, set the rules around, I'm going to just say, interactive communications, interactive marketing. I mean, going way back to the pioneers of interactive services and technologies. You know, these were the VIPs, like Marshall McLuhan at the time. They set the philosophies, they set the beliefs, they set the standards and the policies, and they set it with their particular beliefs and goals in mind. And over time, things change. You know, and I was doing some research yesterday, and I always trust my intuition whenever I prepare for a show. I just happen to know that I'm going to be led to whatever information needs to be talked about and whatever needs to be shared on the show. And one of the things that I came across that has more to do with what people are really looking for, what people really want, I found in a very unlikely report. And this was a report that came out on March 2010, and it was funded by Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. It was a study conducted by the University of Washington and the Institute for Museums and Library Services. And the name of it is Public Access Computing in the United States. And it looked at how people use public access computers in public libraries, because often I think most people, when they think of, you know, people using getting on the social networks and using mobile services, they think of people, you know, in their private homes or I think in their offices. But this report took a look at the people who do not have access, you know, privately in their homes or at work. And what they found out was that out of nearly 77 million people who access computers in public libraries, just I'm going to throw a couple of statistics here. 37% use the computer to research health issues. Now, that's about 28 million people who are using the computer in that way. So, you know, it is about, you know, from the inside out, mind, body, spirit getting better. 82% wanted to learn about a disease, illness, or medical condition. Now, 60% of those people wanted to learn about diet and nutrition. And we know that obesity is a big problem in our country. And one-third of them sought out doctors or healthcare providers, and almost one-half followed up by making an appointment. And also, another statistic is out of those 77 million people, 43.3 million people use the computer at the public library to connect with others for social or entertainment reasons. And finally, there's other statistics. The last one I'm going to throw out is 63% used it to help others in their community. So I just I wanted to just say the name of that report. Well, the two-page executive summary is entitled Opportunity for All. So I wonder if you guys would just like to comment on that. Anyone have anything you want to say about people who go to the public library, you know, what they're looking at, what they're trying to achieve in a public place.
I guess my comment is those things you just talked about are universal in nature, right? Connecting, health, well-being, education, social community. For a long time, we've all known that the ability to do well has, according to Abraham Maslow, five things, right? At the top is self-actualization. The level below that is helping others. The level below that is community. The level below that is structure, and below that is basically, you know, health. And so I think what's happening here is the internet gives us access, even if Egypt shuts it down, or other countries do too, gives us access to fully understand and appreciate that common to all humans and all organizations is the well-being of each other. And by connecting with each other, we can, for the first time, help each other, as opposed to having countries determine what's best for us, or religions determine what's best for us, or organizations. We can connect peer-to-peer and find out what really works. And I think, even though right now social media is about organizations and even individuals thumping their chests and broadcasting broadly to the world, I think that's the early stages of social media. I think the later stages of social media, because we've all never had a voice for so long. I mean, everybody has a voice. 600 million Facebook people have a voice now. They don't need a radio station, or they don't need to own a TV station or own a newspaper to have a voice. And so I think you'll see that in the later stages of social world, that voice will be used for listening and for the benefits of all of us. And so I think in the early stages, we're all glad we finally have a voice. We get up on our soapboxes and broadcast. In the later stages, when we realize that the voice doesn't cost us anything, not just governments have voices and companies have voices, but individuals have voices now. I think we can begin to really heal and help each other because, and I'm talking about organizations, companies can begin to help their customers and employees, and organizations can begin to help their associations and members, and families can help each other too. So I'm very optimistic in the later stages of the social revolution that's taking place.
I think what you're saying there is really powerful, in that social media, to be effective, has to be accentuated or underlined by social responsibility. And you know, one of the FTC in the States in December had a special series of roundtables saying, can the media survive the Internet, referring, of course, to the advent of social citizen journalism and social media and all of these things. And it was kind of interesting in that regards because in the past, as you were talking about, everything was narrowly funneled through what you could call relatively controlled points out there, where, you know, you'd get it through newspapers, radios, and whatnot. What's interesting is that the same question that was asked about social media and the responsibility of social media at first was vectored through the business world. And you know, with the, you know, Grimes, J. William Grimes predicted that daily newspapers would be gone within 5 years. And this was the speech he gave in July of 2009. When the radio first came out, people were fearful of that to a certain degree. And in fact, many recording artists had the record company say to them, if you go on radio, we'll cut you from the contract because there's afraid of free distribution. So every technological breakthrough has seemed to have its own threat period, understanding, and then assimilation into it. I think it's going to be interesting over the next couple of years is to see how much of the old means of communication assimilates with the new social media. I think you're going to have, and for those who are a football fan, I wrote an article about the AFL-NFL merger, and, you know, the AFL, of course, being like social media. There'll be certain attributes of, again, the new social media that'll come in, but I don't think we'll shed completely the framework of the old media. I think we're part of an evolutionary period here, and we're going to see it more greater and powerful technological advances. But I think there's going to be a sifting, and I think what's going to happen is that the voices who are going to survive into the next generation will be the ones who deliver that valuable insight, who take the responsibility seriously, who are the citizen journalists, who are the ones who are doing their homework and aren't getting up on the soapbox. That's my take on what you were saying, David.
Yeah, I think it's Barry, but yes, I agree. That's exactly correct. I think the good and the bad of giving voice to currently 600 million people is it comes with responsibility. And I think I have a lot of confidence in people. I'm not suggesting every person of all 6 billion people are responsible people and that there's not people that are bad people in the world. But I am arguing that with responsibility comes accountability, and with accountability comes, I think, thoughtful and healthy actions. And I think that's true for organizations that'll be held accountable. I think it's true for leaders that'll be held accountable. I think it's true for religions that'll be held accountable now. I think it's true for government and military, and if not, the voice of the people, and we're seeing it right now in Africa, right, are going to be heard, and they're going to be heard in major ways, and they can shut off the internet for a moment in time, but it won't last very long, and we will all see it around the world, and we want to watch it through CNN. We'll see it, you know, mobily and in the way we want to see it, and that will create, you know, come with responsibility for the first time and accountability for leaders, and I think that's very cool.
Well, I think we have a very lively conversation going. I need to just take a break for some announcements, and when we come back, David, I want to talk to you because we were talking about the issue of collaboration and cooperation that's sort of happening in our country right now in different industry areas, and I want to come back and talk about whether or not that's happening in social media and mobile media. So hang tight, guys. Just about 4 minutes of messages, maybe a little bit less, and we'll be right back.
Hi, this is Val Oliver on Creative Parrot Channel here on Blog Talk Radio, and you're listening to the Healing Artist Studio. I have a couple of important messages, and the first is, I'm doing some research on social media and mobile media strategy, and I would like to talk to you if you're a small business or a professional who has a social or mobile media strategy in place, or if you're thinking about beginning one or the other. If you can spend about 10 to 15 minutes talking to me about it, please do email me at oliver.valerie@creatorsparrot.net or at val@c7sm.com, or you can reach me by phone at area code 973-986-8125, or even Skype me at Creator's Parrot. Also, the programs on Creator's Parrot channel are dedicated to generating energy for the Reach for Freedom Heal Child Abuse Music Project. Now, if you'd like to learn more about this project, you can either Google Reach for Freedom Heal Child Abuse Music Project, or you can go to healchildabuse.com. I'm sorry, that's healchildabuse.blogspot.com. Again, healchildabuse.blogspot.com, and learn all about this amazing project called the Reach for Freedom Heal Child Abuse Music Project. Also, one more last announcement. Creator's Parrot Channel could use your support to keep our programs alive and on the air. Your $40 contribution will make sure that we have at least 50 caller lines available so that people can reach us during the shows. It will also make available a Skype button so that if you have Skype and you want to connect to the show when it's live, you can use your Skype. Also, it enables us to download each show, edit it, and upload it as a podcast. And also, for $25, your $25 contribution will provide a toll-free call-in number for guests and listeners. So if you'd like to contribute, please go to our contributors page, and I'm going to give you that address. Ready? Okay. It is cpsupporters.blogspot.com. That's cpsupporters.blogspot.com. When you get to the page, you'll see a pink piggy bank with a dollar sign on it. You can click on that dollar sign, and that will take you to the company for this website, which is the Pursuit Studio. And you can provide a contribution using any major credit card, or you can use your PayPal account. Now, when you do contribute, let us know and provide us with a little photo of you and a paragraph about you and a link to your website or your blog, and it will be posted on the Creator's Parrot Support Network page. So thank you very much for your contribution, and now back to the show.
Okay, we're back to social and mobile media strategies for healing and change on Creator's Parrot Channel here on Block Talk Radio. And David, I want to move into this area of collaboration. Are social and mobile media companies embracing collaboration and cooperation or not? There seems to be this paradigm, and we were saying that we sort of noticed that there are many female-owned companies who particularly seem to be embracing this model of collaboration. And so I thought I'd like you to just talk about that and address that. And let's go ahead. And anyone else that wants to talk about it, that would be great as well.
Absolutely. Just like you had mentioned, we talked about this, how, for example, here's an example. One of the things we do is we call it tech tips, where our viewers from some of our sites, they will submit a question that they have about any topic, whether it be, you know, internet marketing, mobile media, social media, things like that. But we'll create a video response. And we've been doing this for a while, and I've had some other people call me, and I'm not going to mention names, but I've had other people call me, hey, you can't give that information out. You can't give that information. I charge people for that information. So it's funny that they're so secretive. There's so many companies that are so, oh, no, you can't tell that. the experience, I was talking to Amy Porterfield last week, and she's like, you know, people don't realize there's enough out there for everybody. It's about, and this kind of echoes what Barry said, it's about, I feel, educating people. You know, once they know how to use this, you can go out and find the information you want. You're not just up on your soapbox broadcasting. You can experience that interaction with them. But, and Val, you and I talked about it, you know, like you had mentioned, the females that are, you know, branding their names, it seems like the social media companies that are doing very well that have men, but they're doing their companies. The females that are branding their name are doing well simply because they are embracing it. And perhaps it's because, you know, as males, we were, you know, growing up, we played sports, whatnot, and we had this just competitive nature inbred. But it's funny because, like I said, people will come, you can't put that information out. I'm like, wow.
Right, right. And also to Barry and John, since you're so involved in these areas, do you see less competition between companies and more cooperation? Do you feel that it's a good trend, or are you against it? Just if you could just check in on your feelings on this, that would be great.
After you.
Okay. Yes and no. So I think we're at the beginning of this journey of community, collaboration, and content and listening, sharing. I'll call it caring and sharing. So at the beginning of this move from what I call command and control to vulnerability and compassion in the organization, and I mean organization meaning businesses, governments, educations, healthcare, you name it, just at the very beginning of this journey. And as a result, most of the values that many leaders still cherish is the one of winning and beating. If you listen to my words, winning, beating, broadcasting, owning, controlling, commanding. You know, we use words like that, commander-in-chief. We don't use words like following and friending and caring and sharing and listening as the key words of our society yet. They're not the drivers yet. So I think, yes, collaboration and cooperation is, I'll say, the second stage of this. It's like I think social media has a second stage where it's about listening. I think right now the ruling party, whatever that is, which is the existing processes and people, aren't that interested in sharing. They like what they've got, and sharing isn't what's they think in their best interest. I don't agree with that, but I do think they'll find in the long term making people more aware, more knowledgeable, and giving them more tools will help them achieve their goals. And if that's more money, cool.
You know, it's interesting.
Go ahead, John.
I wrote a book on the social network SOACT. And the subtitle to it is The Unsociable Business of Social Networking. And one of the aspects that's very, very interesting is this. I agree, it's yes and no. I think those who have the propensity already or the indigenous interest in forwarding causes, whether it be, again, in health, in social change, and all these things, I think they are going to utilize social media for that reason. They'll be able to mobilize much better and perhaps bring people together that wouldn't otherwise be brought together. On the other side of the coin, there is an unsociable aspect to it. Many organizations are trying to monetize. You know, LinkedIn is going to be issuing an IPO very soon. Twitter has had heat on it constantly from investors saying, when are they going to turn on their economic engines? So there is, not only from the business aspect of it, if you look at the demographics of these social networks, it's fascinating, but even within the mediums themselves, they're looking at charging more. They're charging users more to access it. They're charging users more to get services. Or if they don't charge, like Ing, again, started charging their most frequent users. So here's where those two things come together, is that eventually are the mediums going to get to the stage where accessibility is going to be those who can afford to pay to play. And that's ultimately the no side of this. That's the challenging side of it. I think there's still very much a business sense in how do we monetize this, and that will have an impact in terms of how social change, I'll call them, networks are able to evolve, whether or not they're able to sustain the model. But, you know, that's really going to be the crossroads. That's going to tell us as to which direction this is going to go in.
You know, I was thinking about how in the publishing industry now there's a great, great, great amount of collaboration that's happening between authors, and it tends to be primarily female dominated, because the belief is, if I'm an author and you're an author and you're an author, and you know, we have common ground, and there are concepts, there are beliefs, there are things that we have in common that we want to share with others, who we want to listen to us. There are so many millions of people, you know, and from some of the statistics that I read earlier, you know, 77 million people just in the public libraries that are trying to access information that, you know, helps them to perform life-changing behaviors and activities, life-enhancing behaviors and activities. So if three, four of us are writing a book, and of course we, you know, we want to make a living, we want to receive, you know, monetary compensation, but there's so many, many, many millions of people that need what we have that no one's necessarily going to lose. So we don't necessarily need to compete with one another, because the same person that buys one book may also buy the other three books. So, you know, it's not seen necessarily as that it has to be a competition, because we're not in this mindset, in this consciousness that says there's not enough to go around. We're more in the consciousness of that there is plenty to go around. So do you guys believe that there's not enough to go around, or is there plenty to go around? And I just wondered what you thought about that.
This, David, I think it's about some sort of personal development too, and without trying to sound new age, it's you know, when is enough enough? I mean, is 10 million enough? Is 100 million enough? When is enough enough? I mean, there are plenty, and there's more businesses growing every day. Because, yes, there are plenty of businesses to help. Everybody has more than enough than they can handle. So it's just a matter of you deciding, you know, am I going to try and hoard all these businesses and not give them all the great service they deserve, or am I going to just get this amount, be happy with my lifestyle, and give them the proper direction to build their businesses?
Anyone else?
I'm of the same view. I'm of the view that says human potential is unlimited. There was a great book by Nuala Beck. I just forget what the name of the book was. But she basically said in each age, including the Stone Age, they didn't think there would be enough stones to go around. And then the Iron Age, there wouldn't be enough iron to go around, right? And in the Information Age, there would not be enough information to go around, which there's surely plenty of, and there's plenty of rocks and iron. I think we're just beginning to realize the potential of human capacity. And so I know that we're used to hoarding, whether it be rocks in the rock, you know, in the Stone Age or other things along the way. But I think the more we share, the better people do, the better the world's off. And I'm not being altruistic in saying that. I really do believe we all, it's like, you know, the rise of all ships, and I think, as everybody does better, everybody does better. And therefore, I'm with you guys. It says the more people share, the more there is to be shared, and there is to learn. There's more capacity of 6 billion people to achieve whatever it is they need and want. And that could be, and again, I'm not trying to be altruistic. And it could be about more money. Maybe Bill Gates doesn't think he has enough with 50 billion. Maybe he needs 100 billion. I think if there's 6 billion people using his software, that's cool. So I'm not being altruistic in saying that the more we share, the better off we are. I'm saying just the opposite. The more we share, the more we have to share.
Okay, thank you. Another thing, guys, we have about 10 minutes remaining. An hour goes so quickly. And I wanted to try to ask a question that would be more useful on a practical basis for anyone who will be listening to this show or might be listening now, will be listening to the podcast in the future. That is either a small business, they're an independent professional, either they're very interested in either getting involved in social media, setting up some services for themselves to get their message out, get to their service out there, or they're interested in perhaps using a mobile phone to send messages to customers out there. But they're feeling a little bit overwhelmed because the media just is bombarding us right now, and even social media strategists, strategists are bombarding us right now with, you know, to be a player, you have to have a website, and you have to have a blog, and you need to be on YouTube, and on Facebook, and on Twitter, and on LinkedIn, and have mobile, you know. So what's a poor person to do? What do you recommend for individual professionals and smaller businesses that they're just they don't have a support team, not even maybe one person? How do they begin? How do they get in there? One of the things I like about you, David, is on your website. I'm trying to go back to your website now to try and get the exact language, but. You say our primary objectives are to build your online marketing program incrementally, and you say to control costs, but I say also just so not to go crazy and feel so overwhelmed by what we're being told that we need to do in order to be a quote-unquote player in social and mobile media. So what specifically can you say to help anyone who may be listening and feeling overwhelmed either by cost or just by, human time and energy power?
Absolutely, and we spoke about this before, the incrementally, how that it's basically twofold. Yes, obviously with restraining within a budget, but also experience is going to be the best teacher, I believe. So giving a person with the experience and the knowledge of being able to master one platform, then they can go on to the next one. We'll use Facebook example, learning how to use Facebook, as Barry said, to listen to your customers, to your clients, to see what they need. Then once you master that, you built a following, you can step up to the next platform.
Okay. Barry, you're kind of a big player. What would you say to more of the smaller individual person? Especially in line of what you provide.
We have no difference. Organizations are made up of individuals. Start small, and that means anything from Facebook to Twitter or a discussion forum or a blog. Start small. Start incrementally. And keep the message at the forefront, not the medium, that these tools are absolutely good for broadcasting, but I think their real potential is for listening. So start small to engage your audience in conversation. Pick one tool. Again, I don't care if it's a public tool like YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, or it's a private tool like a discussion forum or a blog or a wiki, and to use these tools to start the listening process and to become comfortable with these technologies. And so it doesn't make a difference if it's a big company or just a small company or just an individual. Start with one thing, learn how to do it, and move on. I'm agreeing.
Okay, great. Now, John, we have about 6 minutes left. I wanted to give you an opportunity to ask another question.
Well, I guess it's kind of interesting because there's so many different directions we can go, obviously, with regard to this kind of discussion. But when you look at, going back to a comment I made earlier, gentlemen, when you look at the fact that, again, named charging for fees and accessibility, when you look to the fact that LinkedIn is going to an IPO, when you look to the fact that these organizations are beginning to monetize it, internet radio, internet television, all of these things, which they realize that the greatest value you have is the time or the amount that you have accessibility to the audience through the platform, I mean, ultimately, what impact is that going to have? Do you think that that could potentially lessen the social impact and increase the monetary focus?
I just read an article saying that Facebook is now, the game programs they have now have to go through them, so everything is on these Facebook credits. And the only people that are really complaining about are the big companies. I think people are becoming numb to the advertising and the sledgehammer marketing is what I say. An example of that is we just completed a campaign for a church in San Antonio. They do a festival. And I was shocked on how many responses I got. We just completed it, matter of fact, Friday, and how many responses and how much interaction I've gotten already. And I think people are actually looking for that social aspect. They're kind of, like I said, they've become numb to the business side of it, and they're looking to, it's a social network. They want to be social.
But I guess, and that's true, but let me ask you this. How much are they willing to pay to be social? When Ning announced that they converted their groups from free to pay, the statistics aren't out, but a lot of organizations, a lot of people stopped using Ning. Yet some were so committed to Ning in terms of building up a following that they were forced to pay. I mean, is that going to become an obstacle in this? Is that going to become a filtering mechanism for better or for worse?
I guess, I mean, it could be that something I don't see it happening with some, you know, the smaller ones like Ning, with the big ones, Facebook, YouTube, I don't see it happening, but even if it does, I think the way the cycle runs is, and MySpace is a fine example, MySpace was the giant, now Facebook is. What's going to be the next giant, you know, if Facebook decides to do things? I think that's why Facebook has lasted, is because they listen to their viewers. They know what their client, their customers want. Will it come to that? I don't see it, but, I mean, yeah, it's quite possible. But if it happens, I think it's just like what you said, mentioned with Ning. Somebody will replace them.
Okay, guys, we've got about 3 minutes left. I'm going to post one propose or one last, not propose, I want to pose one last question to you guys. We're going to start with you, Barry. And the question is, what has been the most rewarding in terms of the closest to your heart project in which you have been involved today?
So I had two back surgeries in 2010, unluckily, and was significantly injured, was in a wheelchair in 57, was in a wheelchair and a walker for, you know, for a good number of months.
Wow.
The most important thing that happened to me was a social media experience. I know Tony Hsieh, who started a company called Zappos. And I told him that the one reason why, when I saw him on his Delivering the Happiness tour, he had a tour called Delivering Happiness, that he delivered happiness to me because I had not been wearing shoes. I was unable to walk, so I had not been wearing shoes for quite a while. When I called up Zappos, I asked them, what type of shoes should I wear? And there's a debate nowadays if it's called heels up, heels down. I won't spend much time. But through the community, I was able to discover what types of shoes can be used post-operatively. And I got to tell you, walking again with shoes that work until you've been, you know, really hurt and really crippled, you don't realize the value of community support. And so from a social media perspective, seeing communities and their conversations who've been hurt like I have been hurt, I couldn't pay enough for that information and for that insight and from that sharing.
Thank you, Barry. That's beautiful. And David, go ahead.
I would have to say just working, just this recent client we have with working with the church, because obviously we handle mainly small businesses, and we, the nonprofit organization, it's just the different mentality of the people, seeing how it was, you know, they were, you know, getting away from what we talked about before, how it's so secretive, but that community of the church is everybody wanting to help, everybody wanting to pitch in. That really made a difference in my life.
And John, what about you?
Well, you know, it's interesting. You know, I gave some numbers at the very beginning in terms of the growth of readership, which hopefully is a reflection that there's contributions being made. But on a personal note, my wife Jennifer just recently was diagnosed with bipolar disorder, and we started two blogs: Bipolar His, the diary of a partner who doesn't have bipolar, and Bipolar Hers. And talking about this, and we write two or three posts a week sometimes. And what was most powerful about this is that the people who have read it have also contributed to it, but they've also gained something, and we're gaining something from that. And I think that's ultimately the value of it, is it only makes something worthwhile and powerful when you're able to pass it on, share it, and engage people, so that everybody walks away with a greater sense. And I'd have to say, out of the 10 blogs that I write, this one, in conjunction with my wife, probably has the most meaning, and it's one where I get the most satisfaction from the early comments that we've received, because it's a subject that very, very few people want to talk about, but needs to be addressed. And I think social media, but for that, would not have afforded us that opportunity.
Well, thank you. I want to thank you, guest Barry Liebert, CEO of Nzinga and author of Social Nation, and David Blyde, social media guru for internet consulting and marketing, and my guest co-host, John Hansen of PI Window on Business. I want to tell anyone who's listening to stay tuned to Creative Parrot Channel, because I'd like to continue this discussion, and I'd like to talk to people who are very involved in social and mobile media, specific to people in the arts, like filmmakers and authors and musicians, singers, performers, so and also practitioners, people that are in the wellness industry. So, guys, thank you so much for being a guest on the show, and be sure to direct people back to the podcast, which will be available almost instantly today. And with that, this is Valerie Michelle Oliver. The show is the Healing Artist Studio on Creator's Parrot Channel here on Block Talk Radio. Peace.